support groups and TBI. What is the connection? Well, for one thing, we have learned that they can help prevent a person who is experiencing traumatic brain injury from feeling isolated. What else can the support groups do? Well, they can provide practical knowledge. Not only that, but resources and networking opportunities. Maureen Cunningham is the executive director of the Brain Injury Association of Missouri. And she says that another benefit of support groups is that survivors are able to gain a wealth of not only practical knowledge, but medical knowledge. Would you have thought that they wouldn't be interested in medical knowledge, since Mr. Proust was saying that really and truly he didn't like the idea of support groups being led by a medical professional who would basically be looking at things from a medical perspective? There are people who want medical knowledge. And when we think about it, though, that's probably not surprising, right? Because think about how many of us are willing to go online and start researching medical conditions, because we really don't have a problem with listening to our physicians, our psychologists, whoever it is we're working with. But so many people are really wanting to gather as much knowledge on their own as they can, in addition to hearing what their medical professional, their medical provider has to share with them. Nothing wrong with that. And so a lot of these people can find, a lot of the people experiencing traumatic brain injury find that they can get a wealth of knowledge that has to do with not only with practical matters, but with medical matters, and become familiar with available resources from other survivors who may have been living with TBI for a longer period of time. Cunningham also points out that, she rotates between 15 Brain Injury Association-affiliated brain injury support groups across the state of Missouri, and attends about 12 to 15 group sessions a year. She says she's encountered many survivors who have shared advice on matters such as how to open cans or how to open doors, what disability services are available in the area, or which restaurants are best suited for people with noise sensitivity or light sensitivity. Survivors with TBI can help one another to learn what various medical terms mean, or to make more informed decisions about residential care, Social Security disability, or insurance eligibility for Medicare or Medicaid. When brain injury survivors have information from other survivors and families, they can make more informed decisions that work for them. And that's what we want. We want to be able to make decisions that work for us. And here's the thing, also very important. It's great when we have trustworthy medical professionals who will do their best to help us make the best out of what we have been handed when it comes to life's challenges. But it is also good when we are able to take some power to ourselves and do something on our own, in addition to what the others may be doing for us. So it really is good when we can be given information that can help us with our decision-making process. Furthermore, Maureen Eisenberg, who is a TBI survivor and former facilitator of the Heads Up Support Group for Brain Injury at the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab in Chicago, says that support groups offer a place where survivors of TBI can get information that they may not get at a doctor's office, such as referrals to non-traditional medical treatments, or what kind of physical therapy stretches work best. Eisenberg sustained her first brain injury, notice this now, her first brain injury, after falling in the shower in 1988. And she's only 53 right now, so we're talking, this was quite a while ago. 1988, she was young. She was in the shower, she fell. And that's when she sustained her first brain injury. She was diagnosed with a brain tumor 18 months later and continues to experience dizziness, vertigo, and issues with spatial and depth perception despite having the tumor removed in 1991. She says that support groups provide a safe haven for survivors to ask questions about their symptoms without fear of being criticized. During her time as a facilitator, she met many attendees who shared horror stories about physicians or medical providers who didn't treat them with respect when they ask questions about their brain injuries. The last thing we need is to be disrespected when we need help with a crisis, a critical situation that we're going through. Cunningham says that she's met survivors in TBI support groups who said their healthcare providers didn't understand their brain injury and actually thought they were faking their symptoms. She advises support group attendees to jot down notes or questions into a journal and bring it to their medical appointments so that they can remember everything they want to talk about with their doctor. So let me run it by you again. You have questions that you want to ask your doctor, and you definitely have a right to ask those questions. Your doctor should be able to answer those. Now, take the questions with you. Write them down. Don't bother yourself with trying to remember, especially if you have five or six different questions you want to ask. Here's the truth. There are plenty of people who have no problem, no issues with their brain whatsoever, no brain injury, nothing else. And if they don't write down the questions that they want to ask that physician when they get to that office, they'll probably forget 60% of the questions they want to ask. So write it down. If your physician likes working with email and they're okay with you emailing the question so that they can then have the discussion with you. Maybe they want to do some more research. They want to read up on some of the questions that you have. Let them know. You know, ask them, is it okay if I email the questions to you, but then wait until you are with me, wait until I come back to visit when you actually answer the questions and we discuss the questions. I would say that would be better. Actually discussing face-to-face in the long run would probably be better for a lot of people than sending a question email, getting an answer or a response email, and then you need to respond to the response. It can lose, something can be lost in that way of communicating that. You may want to be developing a more intimate relationship with your physician by actually having the discussion face-to-face. But if they feel like they need to, you know, if they think it would be beneficial for them to prepare in advance, so be it. And you can email the question to them. Otherwise, if they say, oh, no, just feel free to just write the questions down and just bring them on in when you come. Do it that way. Y'all working together as a team. All right, what else can be done? What else? What is another benefit of support groups? Well, support group facilitators say that caregivers can often experience great emotional and psychological tolls when they're looking after a loved one with a brain injury. So families have to learn to adjust to having a spouse or sibling or child who could have a completely different personality than they did before the injury. It can be so stressful dealing with that change. And it's great when other people who are going through the same thing that you're going through can help you with it because you're going through it together. The family members of the person with that brain injury have to love a new person and say goodbye to the person they knew before the brain injury, according to Cunningham, adding that full-time caregivers often struggle with some of the behavioral changes that may come with brain injuries, such as mood swings or public outbursts. She and Proust agree that families also face added financial burdens when dealing with insurance or caring for someone with a brain injury who can no longer work at the same level as before, especially if the injured family member was the household's main breadwinner. Cunningham cites an example of a survivor she met who impulsively made credit card purchases through a home shopping network. The survivor put the family in financial strains and bankruptcy because the person with the brain injury could not manage or control the spending. So individuals who come to caregiver-specific support groups are able to talk about their concerns about their loved ones or listen and learn from stories that others share. And how about this one? Identity. Regaining a sense of identity. Many people with chronic TBI feel that they've lost a part of their personality following the injury. Kristen Damsel Connor, Dr. Kristen Damsel Connor, an associate professor of rehabilitation medicine and neurology at Mount Sinai in New York City, says that being in a support group provides a community and a supportive platform for people with TBIs to actually test out their new identity. They've got to get to know themselves, their new selves. There are people who, after brain injury, think that their life isn't going to be good again. Support groups allow people to develop their identities while being a part of a community and seeing the bright side of the possibilities. So, I tell you, I definitely want us to be thinking about the power of support groups. The purpose of support groups, according to Timothy Proust, is not just sitting in a group and just talking. You know, this isn't about just having words to come out of our mouths just because we can talk. It's the relationships you make. It's getting education about what's going on with you and how to help yourself and explain it to your loved ones. Proust says that he thinks that it really helps to move on from the traumatic experience. Just because you have a brain injury does not mean your life is over. Till next time.